So the translation and purport is as follows. A saintly person dwelling in the forest in the renounced order of life should never listen to songs or music promoting material enjoyment. Rather, a saintly person should carefully study the example of the deer, who is bewildered by the sweet music of the hunter's horn and is thus captured and killed. Purport. If one becomes attached to the sense gratification of material music and songs, one will develop all the features of material entanglement. One should hear Bhagavad Gita or the song sung by the Supreme Lord. Om Agyanti Mrindasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Sakshiru Militan Ena Tasmai Sri Guruhe Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manubhistam Stapitam Ena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yukta Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavam Sha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatam Pitam Stamsha Jivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishaka Mitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kantha Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrinda Vaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayavacha Patita Nam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavabhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So I would like to seek the blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas here so that I will be empowered to speak. One very senior sannyasi in ISKCON made a statement. There is enough happiness in this world to keep us attached to our sufferings. I repeat. There is enough happiness in this world to keep us attached to our sufferings. Now the concept, the sloka which we are reading, the concept of material enjoyment, the concept of sense gratification is being talked about. Now we know that when we try to enjoy happiness or satisfaction through material enjoyment, basically we don't really feel satisfied from within our heart. You see, in the outside world, people, they're trying to enjoy through the senses, through various material means, but they really don't feel satisfaction within their heart. They don't feel fulfilled in their life. Why is it? Because the scriptures mention, the more you try to enjoy materially, the more that fire burns within you to enjoy more and more and more. It is like when you burn a fire. If you put ghee on it, the fire will burn more stronger, more brighter. In the same way, we feel this in this world that material enjoyment will give us satisfaction of heart. But it does not. The more we try to indulge in more sense gratification or material enjoyment, that craving becomes more and more. In fact, Mother Teresa, she made a statement once that in this world, people are not dying because of hunger of the heart, because of hunger of the stomach. They are dying more because of hunger of the heart. Basically, within inside, we don't feel fulfilled. And till we don't take up to this devotional service, devotional process, sincerely, we will never experience that real satisfaction from within. And the thing is, we are looking for enjoyment in the wrong place. In the material world, people are trying to look for enjoyment, but they are looking for enjoyment in the wrong place. For example, say if you take a fish out of water and you give that fish Mercedes car, a big bungalow, will that fish be happy? No. Till that fish doesn't go back in the water, that fish will never experience that happiness. So in the same way, we living entities are like fish out of water presently. We are trying to enjoy through our mental senses, we are trying to enjoy in this material world without Krishna. And that results to dissatisfaction of the heart. In Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 14, text 14, it's mentioned that a person who is lusty or trying to enjoy cannot satisfy his mind even if he has enough of everything in this world, including rice, barley and other food grains, gold, animals and women. Nothing can satisfy him. Now, people normally see in the outside world, people who are not rich, they feel that, okay, the people who are rich, they have money, they have, you know, beautiful women and beautiful men moving around them, they must be happy. But it's not that. I'm like, in fact, the higher up society you go, the more rich you are, the more dissatisfied you are. You study the lives, I'll not recommend you study the lives of the actors and actresses and the high profile people. But whatever in the papers you hear, right, these people, they have relationship problem, they have divorces, they have so many affairs. Some of the rich people, they have to take sleeping pills to sleep at night. That shows again that till we don't go inward, till we don't take up to this devotional process sincerely, we will never experience that happiness for which we are longing. And the thing is, in this material world, people are always wanting to look for new ways of enjoyment. Whenever they keep on enjoyment, after some time they say, "Arey, bore ho gaya isse yaar." You know, they want to look for some new ways of enjoyment. In fact, in the paper one day it had come that in Finland, the people, you know, they wanted some new source of enjoyment. So they had a competition. You know what type of competition? Mobile throwing competition. Now, who can throw a particular mobile of a particular weight and how far? It had come in the paper. The thing is, people want something more and more and more. Today they are throwing mobiles, God knows, 20, 30 years down the line, they may want to throw human beings. People are always wanting more and more and more. But what do the scriptures say? The more material enjoyment you try to seek, the more frustration you'll have. The more that fire will burn within you to want to enjoy more and more. And in the end, you'll end up more frustration. So what is the remedy? The remedy is only one remedy. That is to take up to this devotional path very sincerely. And the thing is, what happens is, even when we take up to this devotional path, because of a past conditioning, sometimes we bring in the concept of enjoyment also in material, in our devotional life. But in this reference, I would like to tell you a true story. This is many years back. This is regarding Yamuna Mataji. You all know that Yamuna Mataji is one of the very senior disciples of Srila Prabhupada. So many years back, she was admitted in Bhaktivedanta Hospital because of some ailment, some disease. So she was staying on the fifth floor room. And I was told to coordinate for her a breathing machine. She was having some breathing problem. I look after the purchase department in Bhaktivedanta Hospital. So I was asked to arrange for a breathing machine for Yamuna Mataji. So I coordinated it with the vendor, I coordinated the delivery, and I had to coordinate different demos at different times. So I was in constant touch with Yamuna Mataji. I would be personally meeting her, I would be interacting with her on the intercom also. So one day I had given her some sweet prasadam to Yamuna Mataji. So next day, from my department, I was on the first floor, I rang up Yamuna Mataji. I had to take a feedback regarding the machine. I asked Yamuna Mataji, "Mataji, how's that machine doing, that breathing machine?" She said, "It's doing fine, everything." Then in the end, I asked Yamuna Mataji, that, "Mataji, did you enjoy that sweet prasad which I gave you yesterday?" Yamuna Mataji immediately answered, "I don't enjoy, I honored it." What she said? "I don't enjoy, I honored it." I immediately said, "Sorry, sorry, Mataji." Now, that is the difference between these elevated Vaishnavas and we.
these elevated Vaishnavas, they see everything in their life in terms of Krishna's enjoyment. But we, sometimes as sadhakas, as conditioned sadhakas, we sometimes in spiritual life also sometimes have that little tinge to see things for our enjoyment. Arey, kya isme maja aayega? Like for example, there's another example. I think it was Bhakti Vinod Thakur or Bhakti Siddhant Thakur. When they would have prasad, when the prasad plate would come in front of them, they would fold their hands and they would say, "Hey Prasad Prabhu." What they would say? "Hey Prasad Prabhu, please use this body for your service and for your enjoyment." Just see the concept. And when we sit for a Sunday feast or something, plate mein gulab jamun aata hai, we say, "Wow, maja aa gaya." After that, if some rasmalai comes, we say, "Hey, today to bahut maja aa gaya." So the thing is, in devotional service also, we bring in that concept of material enjoyment because of our conditioning. But through our service, through our sadhana, we have to come beyond it. Ultimately, when a devotee, he purifies, he has just one thing in mind: service and pleasure of Krishna and the Vaishnavas. That is the most prominent thing in his mind. And when we take up to devotional service, a Vaishnav is ready to go through all types of inconvenience and suffering for the pleasure of the Lord and the devotees. And the thing is, when we do this, happiness comes as a secondary thing. We do service not so that we will get enjoyment from it, we'll get happiness from it. We do service for only one thing: it pleases Guru Krishna and the Vaishnavas. And when we do that, automatically happiness and inner fulfillment comes. There's a story. There was a disciple. Once they were staying in the forest, the guru with his disciples. So the guru told one of his disciples that, "Go in the forest and get some wood and bring it to the ashram. So we'll use that wood for cooking." So this disciple, he was young, he went to the forest. So he started collecting the different wood. As he started collecting the different wood, he saw a very beautiful butterfly. So he went to catch that butterfly. As he went to catch that butterfly was on a wooden branch. As this disciple went to catch that butterfly flew to another branch. So this disciple again went to the other branch to catch the butterfly. Again, when he went to catch the butterfly flew to another branch. This happened 6-7 times. And finally, this disciple, he lost sight of the butterfly. So again, he resumed back to collecting the firewood. And as he was collecting the firewood and as he was tying the bundle, that butterfly came and sat on that disciple's shoulder. Now, happiness is compared to this butterfly. The more we run after happiness, the more happiness will run away from us. But when we look for service, when we go for service, automatically happiness will come and sit on our shoulder. So the most important thing is we look for service. When we do service, automatically that inner happiness, that inner fulfillment will come. And in this sloka which we were discussing today, the concept of songs, the concept of music is being talked about. Now, in previous times, music, songs, they were used to glorify the Lord. They were used to glorify the devotees. But today, it has taken a perverted form. Once in Mira Road, during Ganpati time, I was walking in Mira Road. There was a Ganpati procession going on. And there was a big band. They were singing and playing different music. And the person, he was singing. Ganpati procession, they were taking Ganpati to, you know. And the person who was singing, he was singing what? Okay. "Are diwano, mujhe pehchano, kahan se aaya main hu Don." I was thinking, God, what has Ganpati to do with Don? So just see the way the whole society is moving. In fact, today's songs and music, especially in the Western world, what does it talk about? It talks about love, material love. It talks about broken heart. It talks more about broken heart. It talks about, you know, broken heart, frustration. It talks about that. And these songs become one of the number one hit. The lyrics and the words of the songs are just contrary to glorifying the devotees and the Lord. In fact, when I was in school, I remember there was a famous music band. When I was in school, this song was very popular. It was banned in India, but it was very popular among the students. What was it? That we don't need no education. Huh? We don't need any education. And the song said, hey teachers, leave the kids alone. Don't teach them anything. Huh? It was, I don't want to take the name of the band, but it was very famous. What is the music in the trying to teach in today's world? Everything except love for God. Then this verse which we are talking about is talking about the deer. How the deer through temptation is caught. And then ultimately there is death to the deer. Now the deer is caught through temptation. So in this world also, Maya tempts us. This material world, basically you just walk out of the temple, everything in this material world is just there to tempt you, to divert you apart from this devotional path. It's there to tempt you and divert you from this devotional path. And once I was going to the railway station, then I was just walking and there were all these posters. It was just bombarding. I said, God, so I said, when I was walking to the railway station, I said, bhai, I'm just going to look down. I'm not going to look up. If I look up again, senses will be bombarding. So the point is, in this material world, there will be temptations always. So when I was walking on the railway platform, I said, I'm just going to look down. I was looking down and I was walking. So there was a bench. I was just walking. And I had to pass, there was a lot of people, so I had to pass the bench. And when I was passing the bench, there was a Mataji sitting with miniskirts and her legs were being exposed. So I was thinking, in this material world, whatever you do, there will be temptations. I just imagine, I was determined, focused, I'm just going to look down. Imagine look down also, there's temptation. So the point is, we have to prepare for these temptations in advance. What do the scriptures say? These temptations will be there. But we have to prepare for these temptations in advance. These temptations are like exams. Suppose if we want to get good marks, good grades in the exams, just on the day of exam, we go in the exams hall and start writing. Will we get very good marks? No. We may fail. So the same way, we as sadhakas, we have to understand that these temptations, these exams will come not only every day, not only every hour. Practically, it may come every minute and every second. So, the scriptures say that the best thing is to prepare in advance. So in advance, we have to be reading our scriptures, we have to be associating with strong devotees. When we are chanting, we have to chant in helpless, with a helpless feeling. When we do this every day, then when these temptations come, we are prepared to deal with it properly and we will not succumb to them. In fact, in the army, in the defense system, in the army, navy and the air force, there's a very popular saying. That popular saying is that the more you bleed in peace times, the less you will bleed in war times. I repeat, the more you bleed in peace times, the less you will bleed in war times. We can use this phrase or sloka of the defense very nicely in a spiritual life. How? If we prepare ourselves nicely for this temptation, this test, we really work hard, reading every day, associating with Vaishnav, chanting very sincerely. When we do this in peace times, and when we go outside on the war front, in the battlefield, in the material world, when the temptations come, will be aloof from it. They will not succumb to it. And how is a fish caught also, the fish, through temptation? In the fishing rod, the person who is having the fishing rod, what does he do? He puts a worm or some eatable. He attaches that on the hook. He camouflages that hook with this nice worm or nice eating thing and he puts it in the water. And when the fish is swimming, sees this nice attraction, nice temptation. Wow, such a nice thing for me to eat. And when the fish opens its mouth and catches hold of that eating thing, the hook gets attached to the mouth of the fish. The fish is pulled out and there's ultimate death. So we should also understand as sadhakas that whenever these temptations come, if we succumb, there'll be spiritual death. Basically, whenever we succumb to these material things of this world, we are killing our spiritual inclinations. And then, how also an elephant is caught? Elephant, through the same thing. They use a she-elephant to attract a he-elephant, and the he-elephant is guided to a pit. The he-elephant falls in that, and he's caught again through temptation. And what I'm saying is, in this world, whatever you do, whenever a test or temptation is going on, be sure, when this temptation is over, there are 10 more temptations lined up on your doorstep, waiting to tempt you. Like many years back, maybe 22, 23 years back, I was working in a diamond company. I had just joined new. So I was told to learn grading, assortment, how to identify the different grades of a diamond. So I was put under senior people who were already experts in that field, and they were supposed to teach me. So fortunately, I was staying in the temple that time. I would do my morning sadhana and go to the office. This is Panchratna, 10 minutes walk from here. And then after my duty, I would come here and stay here. So I was among all the different senior brahmacharis. I would attend the morning program. So I was very new in this company. So when I was once in the company, I was doing my assortment, trying to learn. So one of the senior people, he came to me and told, Sharad, come here, I want to show you something. He was very senior. I was depending on them for my learning those diamond qualities. He took me aside. He made me sit. He said, Sharad, I want to show you something very nice. So I said, okay. So from his pocket, he took out one paper. It was folded. And he showed to me. What it was a photo of a naked woman. He showed to me and said, what do you think of it? I just looked at him, I smiled, I said, we don't take interest in such things. And never in future again he showed me those things. But the thing is, you know, I was going there with a tilak, I had kanti mala, everything. But still, Maya will tempt you everywhere. In fact, when we are giving Bhagavatam class, when doing good kirtan, sometimes, you know, the temptation to want name, recognition, that we feel, okay, after the class, after my singing, I hope someone will come and tell me, Prabhuji, you gave a nice class, you sang nicely, you did the seva very nicely. Imagine that temptation to want name, fame is also there as to a sadhaka. So again, we have to pray to the Lord. We have to do a sadhana every day, constantly every day. And by that, Krishna will take us away above this temptation. Like temptation for name, fame is also so strongly ingrained in us. There's a story. Once there was a tapasvi. He renounced everything. And then he went into a cave to do tapasya. And only once a year, he would come out of that cave. And the whole town and the village around, they knew that this tapasvi comes out on this particular day only. So before the tapasya would come out in the morning, there would be thousands and thousands of people waiting for him to take his darshan, to put him garland and to do dandat for him. So every year on this particular day, this tapasvi would come out. And he would get so much name, fame, malas and, you know. So on a particular year, when he came out of his cave in Gufa, he saw no one around. He was wondering, what happened today? So he thought, did I come out on the right day or did I come out on the wrong day? So he went inside his cave and he had his calculation to understand all the days of the year. So he did his calculations, he saw the markings on the cave. He said, yeah, today is the right day, I have come out, but still no people around me. So he thought, okay, I'll wait for some time. Maybe the gaonwale village people, they'll down the way, they'll be coming. So he waited for some time, still they were not coming. So he thought, there was a big tree side, but he thought, this tapasvi thought, okay, let me climb up this tree and see how far they are. He climbed up this tree, he was trying to see where are the people. He could not see. He said, let me climb higher. He climbed on top of the tree and was trying to see other people coming. And while doing, his leg slipped, he fell down and he died. Now the thing is, you know, this wanting, the temptation to want name, fame, very, very much ingrained. In fact, temptation to eat, temptation to enjoy sensually, even if you are able to come above that, it is more difficult to come above the temptation to want name and fame. Very, very difficult. But yes, we can come above it. Why? How? By taking shelter of Krishna, by taking shelter of Krishna's devotees. Then, the thing is, a devotee, what is his protection? A devotee, he will never think, okay, chalo, abhi main bahut senior devotee ho gaya, 25 years se, 30 years se, I'm chanting, I'm doing my sadhana so nicely, now Maya will not catch me. The more a devotee advances, the more he matures, the more humble attitude he has. The more humble he feels, the more insignificant he feels, the more he feels dependent on Krishna, the more he feels dependent on the association of devotees. And it is this attitude of this devotee which protects him. And then when we are talking of temptation, there's a very nice story about Haridas Thakur, how he was tempted by this prostitute. In fact, when Haridas Thakur, he was staying in this place called Benapol. So there was a jamindar in that area. His name was Ramchandra Khan. He was very envious of Haridas Thakur. He could not just tolerate the name and fame of Haridas Thakur. So this Ramchandra Khan, he wanted Haridas Thakur to fall down and to be led astray. So he devised a plan. He had a meeting of the best prostitutes in his area. We have meeting of the devotees to have devotional strategy. He had what? A meeting of the best prostitutes to what? Have a strategy to pull down Haridas Thakur. And in that meeting of these prostitutes, he said to all of them that this Haridas Thakur is there. I want him to fall down from his spiritual practices. So he selected the best prostitute in that group. And the best prostitute told to Ramchandra Khan, don't worry. In 3 days, I will get this work done. So this prostitute, she went. When Haridas Thakur, he had made a small hut for himself and he was staying in a forest. So this prostitute went to Haridas Thakur on the first day. And she started, when Haridas Thakur was chanting, she started exposing her different parts of the body. Tempting. Maya brings temptations to devotees. So this prostitute was exposing her different parts of the body, trying to tempt Haridas Thakur to enjoy her. So when she was seeing this not work, she started speaking words to Haridas Thakur that, Haridas Thakur, you have such a bright and such a fantastic strong built body. Who's the woman who after seeing her body will not be disturbed in mind? Just see, Maya, when she starts tempting us, trying to deviate us, her first thing fails, she'll use another strategy. If that fails, a third strategy, fourth, fifth, tenth, it will go into millions also. But she'll not give up on us. But the devotee also, because of his strong sadhana, because of the mercy of the Lord, he always prays for the Lord in such protection. So this prostitute was exposing all this and telling all this. So Haridas Thakur told this prostitute, okay, I will fulfill your desire, but first let me chant my number of rounds today. Once that finishes, I will fulfill your vow. So that prostitute was sitting in front of Haridas Thakur, in front of the tulsi plant, and just hearing Haridas Thakur. So when the night finished, came morning, then that prostitute, sorry, morning has come. Then Haridas Thakur told, okay, I could not finish, come tomorrow next day. So this prostitute again, the next day she came. So now just see, Haridas Thakur tells this prostitute that, I'm sorry, please excuse me that I could not fulfill this promise yesterday. Today I will fulfill it. I have this number of rounds to be finished. None. So the prostitute again sat in front of Haridas Thakur near the tulsi plant, and Haridas Thakur kept on chanting. And this prostitute is trying to expose her body, and she wore her best clothes to tempt Haridas. Haridas Thakur chanting. Again when the night went, when morning came, this prostitute again says that Haridas Thakur told her that, see, I thought that today I would finish the number of names of Lord which I had vowed for, but I could not finish. But I promise you, this third day it will finish and I will fulfill your desire. So the third day, this prostitute again put on her best clothes and she came a little early. She came little early in the evening itself, then she sat near Haridas Thakur, near the Tulsi plant, and Haridas Thakur started chanting. And when Haridas was chanting, this prostitute also was hearing, and she was also chanting at some times. And then in the middle of night, that change of heart came in the prostitute. The prostitute fell at the feet of Haridas Thakur and begged for forgiveness. And she told Haridas Thakur that this Ramchandra Khan has sent me to destroy you. Haridas Thakur said, I knew it already that you had come to destroy me, that Ramchandra Khan had sent you. I already knew it the first day. If I wanted, I could have gone away. But I stayed here just for you, just to purify you. And then this prostitute told Haridas Thakur that, please be my spiritual master and instruct me what to do. Then Haridas Thakur told her that whatever wealth you have got, please go and distribute it among all the Brahmanas. And you come in this cave and in the same place you chant the names of the Lord. And this prostitute went and gave away all her wealth to the Brahmanas. And she wore a simple cloth and she shaved her head. And she came in that hut and she started chanting every day 3 lakh names of the Lord. Every day. And then she became so famous that all the people in the village would come just for a darshan. And she was so spiritually elevated now that whatever food came as alms to her, she would eat that. And if any day nothing came, she would fast that day. And through that she controlled all her senses and her mind. And she became a very famous saint. So again this story, Haridas was tempted. But when we genuinely take shelter of the holy name, when we genuinely take shelter of the process of bhakti, we will always be protected. Then but one thing we should be very careful of, like we mentioned to you that the best way to be protected from any test or temptation is that we prepare in advance. Like we mentioned that if a student, he has to go for an exam, if he prepares in advance, he can do his exam better. So in the same way, in devotional service, we prepare ourselves in advance for this test and temptation. But even though if we prepare in advance very nicely, we should be careful of one thing. Very, very careful. Even though we have prepared very nicely in advance for this test and temptations, but if you're not careful of one thing, we'll fail in these exams. Even though we are prepared very nicely. And what is that one thing? That is Vaishnava offense. Vaishnava prad. Very, very, very dangerous. You may be preparing for these tests and temptations through years and years and years. But if you do a Vaishnava offense, a Vaishnava prad, when the test comes, those temptation comes, Krishna will take away your power to resist that temptation and will fall down. So in fact, one of the ways we prepare for this test and temptation is that we are very sensitive, we are ultra sensitive regarding Vaishnava offense. You should never, whatever happens, never ever commit any Vaishnava prad. Then Vaishnava offense, Vaishnava prad is like when we criticize devotees, when we do things which are contrary to devotional service, when we talk negative about devotees, when we make strategies to pull them down. These are all Vaishnava offense. Then in this sloka, when we are talking, the text which we are discussing today, in the purport, a solution is given regarding material attachment, about sense gratification, how to be aloof from it. And the solution in the purport was that we should hear Gita, we should hear about the Lord, we should hear words glorifying the Lord's devotee. When we do that, that is one of the solutions to keep us away from the attachments of this material world. Now when we are talking about hearing about the Lord or his devotees, hearing about the Lord, the words about the Lord, they are very, very powerful. Very, very powerful. In fact, they are so powerful that they attract the Lord himself. Forget the Jivatma being attracted. What can attract the Lord? The Lord has made this whole world. What can attract the Lord? Nothing. But words glorifying the devotees, the words glorifying the Lord, they themselves attract the Lord. There's a wonderful story. this is in the Ramayana. When Lord Ram, he was in Ayodhya, when Lav Kush, they had come to Ayodhya and they were singing the glories of Lord Ram and Sita Maya. So the word spread out, and you know, when they were singing in Ayodhya, people on the road will just gather around them in thousands and they'll just hear the beautiful singing and the beautiful words, the beautiful glorification of Lord Ram and Sita Maya. They were so much captivated. The word spread to Lord Ram that there are two children who have come in your kingdom and they are singing so beautifully. And they recommended Lord Ram that please call them in your sabha and hear them sing. So Lord Ram said, okay. So Lav Kush, they were called in Lord Ram's sabha, in his assembly. Lord Ram was sitting on a very raised platform, all the ministers sitting side, and all the court was filled with so many people. So Lord Ram asked Lav Kush to sing. And Lav Kush started singing the glories of Sita Maya, the glories of, you know, the Lord. And it was so captivating. Lord Ram, he was sitting on the throne. He was so captivated by the singing and by the words of Lav Kush. He came down on the throne, from his throne. And no one is looking at the Lord. Everyone is just looking at these two children, all the ministers and everyone in the assembly. Lord Ram was so captivated. He came down his throne. He walked down his throne. And where the people were sitting and hearing Lav and Kush, Lord Ram sat among them and started hearing. He was so captivated. And no one is knowing that Lord Ram has come down his throne. And Lord Ram sat not near a common person. And when this common person was seeing the Lav Kush sing so beautifully, you know, he put his hand in it. Like sometimes, you know, when we hear something nice, we say, "Are wah, kya bol raha hai," you know. So this person, the common person, when he was hearing so nicely, he put his hand and tapped Lord Ram. "Are wah, see what they are saying so nicely." And Lord Ram in turn also tapped this person. You know, so the thing is, Lord Ram was so captivated by his, you know, the glorification of the word. The point is, when the words which glorify Lord, they not only captivate a living entity, but they're so powerful, they even melt the heart of the Lord. So as far as possible, we should always try to hear the pastimes of the Lord and the pastimes of the Lord's devotees. Then, again, there's this example of the Yajna Brahmins in the scriptures. The Yajna Brahmins, they were the Brahmins of the wives of these Brahmanas, elevated Brahmanas. Now, they had never met Lord Krishna. But when they would go to the marketplace to buy vegetables, they would hear the glorification of Lord Krishna from the Brijavasis there. And just by hearing this glorification, they developed so much love for the Lord and they surrendered their full life to Lord Krishna. Again, how? They never met the Lord. Just by hearing about the Lord, they developed so much love for the Lord, they surrendered everything to the Lord. Then, there's another nice story. This story is about Nabab Hushan Sa. Now, Nabab Hushan Sa, this is during Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time. He was a very cruel ruler. In fact, if he found publicly anyone practicing the different Hindu rituals, he would torture them, he would even kill them. He was so much anti-religious, Hindu religious principles. So once Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with his devotees, they were doing Harinam and they were crossing this palace of the Nabab. So this Nabab heard something. So the Nabab called his main police chief and told him, "Go see what is happening." So then the police chief went, he saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taking the names of the Lord and so much in ecstasy. Everyone around also, there was so much happiness. And this police chief was influenced in a positive way about this whole thing. So he came back and he told to Nabab all the positive things about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that he's such a saint and such, you know, with so much devotion his singing. He told all positive things. So this Nabab Hussain, he called one devotee by the name of Keshav Chaitanya. He wanted to know more about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this Nabab called Keshav Chaitanya. He was a devotee of the Lord. So Nabab told Keshav Chaitanya, "Who is this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Tell me more about him." So this Keshav Chaitanya devotee, he knew that Nabab. He knew that in the past this Nabab has tortured devotees. Not only tortured, has killed them. His anti-religious things. So the Nabab, Keshav Chaitanya, he wanted to protect Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Keshav Chaitanya, he told the Nawab that actually this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's just a beggar. He's just a beggar, he has some few followers and he just takes the name of Lord like that. In a very low tone, this Nawab, Keshav Chaitanya told in a very low tone about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this Nawab, he got angry at Keshav Chaitanya. He said, what? You are saying he's a beggar? He's just an ordinary man? No, he's supreme personality of Godhead. So you know, now he's this king who would torture people, who would torture devotees, not to torture, kill them. He had this change of heart. Keshav Chaitanya was also struck, not struck, he was surprised. He was not surprised, he was super surprised. God, that this change of heart in such a short time to this Nawab. Now, how did this change of heart come to this Nawab Hussain? This change of heart came because this Nawab Hussain, he heard the glorification of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from his police chief. That police chief, he was also a Muslim person. He genuinely glorified Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from his heart. Just that glorification, a genuine glorification, changed the heart of this Nawab. Again, the words of the Lord, or the words describing the Lord, are so powerful, it can melt stone-like hearts too. And when we are speaking about hearing about the Lord, reading about the Lord, Prabhupada has mentioned at one place that we should be so attached to hearing and reading. He mentioned that we should be so attached to hearing the glorification of the Lord. It's like how an intoxicant is so much attached to his intoxication. We should be so much hooked to reading and hearing that we should not be able to stay a moment without wanting to hear the glorification of the Lord of his devotees. We should have that attitude. We should be so attached and hooked that if any time, if any day we have not heard Harikatha, we should have, you know, these symptoms, like how a drug addict, he goes through his withdrawal symptoms when he doesn't have his drugs. If a drug addict, he doesn't get his drug quota on time, he starts going through withdrawal symptoms. What is his withdrawal symptoms? His body starts shivering, perspiration. So a devotee also, when we have not got a regular quota of hearing Harikatha that day, we should hear where is the Bhagavatam? Catch hold of some devotee. Prabhu, tell me something about Krishna. We should have those symptoms. I don't have that. I pray I develop one day. But we should aim for, we should cry for that. And if we really aim for it and really long for it, we cry for it, it's Krishna's promise. Krishna will give it to us. The difference is, we want it, but that greed is not there. That craving is not there for such things. We want it, yeah. We have heard so many times, we have read in the scriptures, we should hear regularly. It's in our mind, okay, we should hear regularly. Yeah? But we should crave for it. That greed should be there, that loyam should be there. Then, in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 18, in verse 11, in the purport, Prabhupada writes that all the great acharyas strongly recommend that people be given a chance to hear about the Supreme Lord. Then success is assured. What Prabhupada writes? Success is assured, guarantee. If we regularly hear about the Lord and his devotees, it's not that success may come. In this material world, there are big corporate seminars, how to be a big CEO and become a big CEO. They give you all these formulas and that formulas. And they say, try this, hopefully you will reach to the top. Hopefully. But, yeah, what Prabhupada mentions, not hopefully. He assures us, he guarantees us that if you read and hear Krishna Katha every day, success has to come to us. Then, regarding hearing and reading, there's a very nice example. Again, reading and hearing, it should be done regularly, not occasionally. There's a very nice example. Say in the villages, when there's harvesting time, when the harvesting time is there, after that fasal is cut, the workers, they pick up that harvest and they put it on their head and they walk to a nearby distance for a few minutes and then they keep on stacking it. Again, they come back to the field, they pick up their rice and dhan, whatever, take it on their head and they again go walk a few minutes and keep it at a distance place where they stack it. Now, these workers, by constant walking, they create a path. And by constant walking, no wild plant or wild weeds grow on that path. But why? By constant walking. If that constant walking is stopped, wild plants and weeds will start growing on the path. In the same way, on a spiritual path, we have to be constantly hearing and reading. Constantly. By constantly hearing and reading, on a spiritual path, wild plants and wild weeds will not grow. But on a spiritual path, if we stop constant reading and hearing, what will happen on a spiritual path? Wild plants and wild weeds will start growing. Now, we have 9 processes of devotional service. The most important is to hear about the Lord in a submissive attitude, to hear and chant the glories of the Lord in a submissive attitude. This is the most important of the 9 processes of devotional service. And in fact, all the 8 processes of devotional service are dependent on this first principle. The first principle of hearing about the Lord with a submissive heart. In fact, Prahlad Maharaj perfected about remembering the Lord how? When he heard from his guru Narad Muni. Then Sukhdev Goswami also, he achieved perfection about speaking. But first he heard from his father and guru Vyasadev. So in the same way, with the 9 processes of devotional service, and there is one devotee who is an example of perfection of those 9 processes of devotional service. And if you study the lives of these 9 devotees who have achieved perfection, it all started that they heard first from an authentic source. How did it start? It all started when all these 9 personalities heard about the Lord and his devotees from an authentic source. Again, the point of the importance of hearing about the Lord. Then there's a story that there was a dhobi, a king's dhobi. That dhobi, in the morning, once he was coming in the king's palace, and early in the morning, so as he was walking inside, the king saw him and he saw the king. And dhobi came, and so that day when the king went to have his bath, he fell down. He broke his leg. Then the vaidya came and did something. Then again after half an hour, he again slipped, again broke his leg, sorry, hand. But the king, he broke his leg, broke his hand. The king started thinking, whose face did I see today morning? He remembered, that dhobi. That dhobi's face is very inauspicious. The king called his minister and said, call that dhobi. Dhobi came. The king said, your face is very inauspicious. Today morning I saw your face, and then first my leg broke, after that my hand broke. Your face is very inauspicious. Because of that, you are going to get death sentence. After a few minutes, you will be taken by my guards and you will be put to death. So this dhobi thought, God, now I am finished. Dhobi told the king, sir, can I speak something? King said, yes, speak. Then the dhobi said, sir, you are saying that my face is very inauspicious, but your face is more inauspicious than me. The king was a little struck. How can you say this? So dhobi said, sir, see, in the morning, you saw my face, I saw your face. You saw my face and your hand and leg broke. But by seeing your face, today I am getting death sentence. So your face is more inauspicious. So by this time, the king had sobered down a little bit. So the king also started smiling. So the king said, okay, no problem, I'll leave you. Go away, you're free. So from the spiritual angle, which is an auspicious day? From a spiritual angle, which is an auspicious day or an inauspicious day? From a spiritual angle, an auspicious day is the day when Hari Katha, Hari Nam has entered us. The day Hari Katha, Hari Nam has not entered us, that is one of the most inauspicious day. And when we are talking of hearing and reading, what is the most important thing to hear? When we are talking of reading and hearing, the most important thing to hear is the holy name. Krishna says, I am not different from my holy name. So as much as possible, we should try to hear the holy name. We should try to chant the holy name. In this, the time is up. I'll say a short thing and we'll end. In terms of the holy name, there's one thing that Krishna ka naam tu le itna ki had kar de. Krishna ka naam tu le itna की हद कर दे, यमराज भी कहे कि इसका खाता रद्द कर दे. सो द होली इज सो पावरफुल. यमराज विल आल्सो से भाई इसको. सो एनीवे द टाइम इज अप, वी विल एंड हियर. सो थैंक यू फॉर हियरिंग पेशेंटली. इफ एनीवन हैज एनी कमेंट्स टू मेक और एनी क्वेश्चंस. यस प्रभु जी.
Thank you, Prabhu, for a wonderful lecture. You said for that in 9 process of devotional service, all of those 9 personalities, their spiritual life started by hearing from authentic source. I wanted to know this before also, that is it that those 9 personalities like perfected their life just because of that one particular process out of the 9? Or is it that ultimately the Atma Nivedanam is necessary, the complete surrender is the necessary before they perfect their life?
See, what I understand is that when you talk of these personalities, 9 personalities, obviously, like hearing of the, they have done that a lot. But the thing is, each of these 9 processes are so powerful, that when we purify a perfection, automatically the other 9 symptoms also become part of you. A person who has achieved, you know, just perfection by hearing, he's become a pure devotee, automatically he's self-surrendered, automatically the other devotional qualities come in him automatically. If any other devotee also want to add something, you can add to this question. Okay, thank you for giving me a hearing, thank you for hearing patiently. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.